Goedenavond luisteraars, u luistert naar de uitzending van Joshua Radio. In de zendtijd van Radio Sivanya. En dat doen we tot de 30ste van deze maand. Heilige God en Vader, Heer, dank u wel, mijn God, dat uw ogen gericht zijn naar uw kinderen en wij uw oogappels zijn. Dank u, Vader, mijn God, dat wij in u mogen geloven, want uw woord zegt, maar zonder geloof is het onmogelijk hem welgevallig te zijn. Heer, dank u wel dat u bij ons bent. En voor degenen die morgen moeten werken, later moeten werken, wees ook met hen. Dat vraag ik in Jezus' naam. Amen. Telefoonnummer in de studio is 020-672-2532. 020-672-2532. We gaan luisteren naar Marino. Dat was Marino. En het volgende nummer wordt gezongen door drie vrienden van ons in La Puente area in LA.
And
luisteren naar een uitzending van Joshua Radio in de Zendtijd van Radio Zefania.
can separate us from his love. No. Since the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life.
Strength of my life.
Whom shall I be afraid? I'm not afraid. Say, we have overcome.
Have overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
His love.
The Lamb
by the word of our testimony
of the Son of Jesus, of the Son of God. His name is Jesus.
So much that he endured the cross, totally disregarding all of the shame attached to it. He overcame because of his love for us and because of the joy awaiting him. Now he is seated in the place of honor, right beside God's throne. So let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith.
Yes, hallelujah. Goedenavond, luisteraars. We hebben Bishop Gilbert die vanavond het woord gaat brengen. Bishop Gilbert, good evening.
And good evening to you, Pastor Wilfred.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Oh, by God's grace, I am well. Thank God, enjoying God's favor and his abundant grace.
Amen. I'm going to give you the mic. We have a little problem with the equipment. And that was gisteravond. But we still got...
We konden niet uitzenden.
This message.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. I give you the mic and we're going to listen to the word of God.
Hallelujah. All right, well, guten Abend to all of my beloved brothers and sisters there in the Netherlands. I am so thankful to God for Pastor Wilfred and for this broadcast station for the opportunity to be able to bring you God's holy word. My name is Gilbert Coleman, and my wife and I, we live in the state of New Jersey here in the United States of America. And of course, we bring you holy greetings from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and from all of your brothers and sisters here in America who are without a doubt praying with and for all of you there in the Netherlands. I thank the Lord again for this opportunity to be able to share with you, and I truly believe that God has a rhema word for each of us for this evening, whether you're going to hear the broadcast now or whether you will hear the recorded version later on. But I truly believe that it is a word that will help and assist each and every one of us as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for those of you who have your Bibles, if you're going to use your tablet or use your phone or your computer, if you'll turn to the 28th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, which I believe is very familiar to most of us, but in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18 down to verse number 20 is where we're going to look at for our text for this evening. Once again, that's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 down to 20. And there it says this, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And he said, amen. And for the message for this evening, I want to use this thought, called to change the culture. Once again, that's called to change the culture. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth and to subdue it." So therefore, it was always God's intention for earth to become a microcosm of what heaven is and was. In other words, He was looking for earth to become a colony of heaven, so that all of the things that were going on there and is going on in heaven would ultimately be demonstrated here on earth as well. However, by the time we reach Genesis chapter 6, the Lord is saying there that it grieved him to his heart, sorry that he had ever made man on the earth, because of the evil intentions of man's heart was always wickedness. And we see that wickedness and moral decline continue to be displayed all throughout the Old Testament, even through Malachi, and then ultimately into the New Testament now, and finally when Jesus comes and Jesus is sent into the earth realm to restore order. And of course, he went about the world in that realm of the world doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching the gospel to the poor. And then, of course, we know that ultimately he died the most horrible death that any human being could ever die. However, that death was not death all in itself, but in actuality, it was life. It was triumph. It was victory, because that death was able to wrought and bring about salvation for all mankind. But then, of course, in this passage of scripture, we see that the Lord is giving a mandate, not only to the disciples or the apostles of that time, but also is left on record as being a mandate for you and I. This passage of scripture is also a part of the inception of the church, because of the fact that he left the church in this world to be able now to manifest his glorious kingdom here on this earth. Because, of course, the Lord's ultimate desire is that the kingdoms of this world will become his kingdom and the kingdom of his Christ, which is without a doubt what he has said to us in the book of Revelation. And so now, children of God, what we have got to understand is that it is our responsibility, wherein in too many instances, what I have found is that many of God's people believe that it is only up to God to do all of the work to see to it that ultimately the earth is going to come back into its place where it should be governed by heaven. And for whatever reasons, we have allowed ourselves, rather than to dominate in the earth realm, the church has allowed herself to assimilate into what is going on in the earth. And even though, in fact, we are supposed to be the agents of change, we're supposed to be the ones that God is going to use to ultimately see to it that the culture in this world would ultimately be truly transformed. Because remember what he says to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. He said, be not conformed to this world. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is the Lord's desire. That's the Lord's intention. That is his heart for the earth realm. But unfortunately, also one of the things that I've been able to observe in the many years that now I've been blessed by God to carry his gospel throughout the world, and that is that the church only wants converts, but what the Lord is looking for is disciples. Because when we look at the passage of scripture, the text that the Lord has given us here this evening, and it says, go therefore and make disciples of all of the nations.
Amen.
Now, when it says disciples, the disciple, of course, is a student of the word.
Yes.
A student of the principles of God's kingdom. And that is exactly what the Lord is looking for us, his church, to be able to do. And unfortunately, here in America, I don't know about there in the Netherlands, but here in America, what we also have done is that people only intend or look to be just a good church member, as opposed to understanding their citizenry in the kingdom of heaven. And of course, there's a prayer that the Lord Jesus gave to the disciples, because out of everything that they have been taught by the Lord, the only thing that they ever asked him to teach them was to teach them how to pray.
Yes.
And in what we call the Lord's Prayer, but in actuality, it's the disciples' prayer. The actual Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17, where Jesus is praying to his Father. But in this particular instance, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he said, I want you to learn to pray this way, and just a model. It doesn't mean that we have to only pray this, but it is only a model where it says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This is so important. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And look what it says, on earth as it is in heaven. What has happened, though, for many, many decades throughout the church is that what we have been doing is trying to take earth to heaven, when in actuality what the Lord's desire is to bring heaven to earth.
Yes.
And what many Christian people have done also is that we have always planned some sort of exit strategy, as if we're trying to do everything we can to swiftly depart from the earth. And that is not what the Lord desires for us. He's not looking for us to swiftly depart from the earth, because of the fact that he gave us a mandate. He gave us a responsibility. He gave us work that we all must achieve and accomplish while we're here on this planet. Because remember, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations.
Yes.
Now, let me also remind us of this, is that in this particular passage, the Lord is not only talking to us about global discipleship, but he is also talking about how the church must be systemic in the way that she addresses the various nuances that are going on in the earth realm right now. Now, when I say systems, I like to refer to it this way also. I like to refer to them as mountains, if you will. And there are seven mountains that the Lord desires that we, the people of God, must conquer if, in fact, we're going to actually make disciples of all the nations. And within the confine and context of all of the nations, there are also systems. And so, again, I'm saying there are seven different systems that we want to focus on for the contents of this message. So the first system that we want to be looking at is the religion system. Now, of course, all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand that Christianity is not a religion.
Nope.
Christianity is about a relationship.
Yes.
However, for the world's people, they only understand it as being a religion. And without a doubt, there is a system that is involved in religion, because there are other faiths, if you will, that are in the world also. And because of all of these other different faiths or different religions that are in the world, it has become a system. And if, in fact, if we would do any level of studying about it, we'll also find that some of these other religions are in actuality growing much faster and more rapidly in actuality than Christianity is. One of the things that often breaks my heart, and I've had an opportunity to be able to visit Israel, and when going to Israel, here it is, that is the birthplace of our Lord and Savior,
yes,
Jesus Christ. And yet, at the time that I visited there, it was my understanding that only 2% of the population of Israel actually believes in Jesus. No wonder then that when we look at the scriptures, and in Romans chapter 9, verse 10, and also in 11, the Lord is prompting the believers even of that era, and it, of course, is on record for us even today, that the Lord is saying that he wants us to be able even to evangelize the Jewish people, mm-hmm, because of the fact that they are still his chosen people, no matter how far away they may have drifted from God or away from Jesus Christ as their Messiah, because, of course, they believe and still they believed in and still believe that any man that was hung on a tree was cursed. And so, therefore, there was no way in the world that he could possibly be their Messiah. Even looking at the day just before his crucifixion, when he rode into Jerusalem triumphantly, and the people there screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. Okay, and please know that also that is not really a word of worship or praise, but in actuality what Hosanna means is, Lord, please help us. Lord, please help us. Because they were looking for a Messiah that ultimately would free them from Roman tyranny. And so therefore they were looking for a man who would come in great pomp and circumstance. But even as the Old Testament prophesied, he came into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, not coming on some large white steed and with a crown and all of those things, but he came into the city in humility. And even in that, the people threw their coats onto the ground and palm leaves as a form of pageantry, or like a red carpet, so to speak, as Jesus comes into the town. And as he comes in, and again, they're screaming Hosanna because they really, really wanted his help. But nonetheless, because of all of these other religions, they are in direct defiance of the fact that Jesus is even the Messiah. They're just trying to reduce him to a prophet and don't want him to be the Lord and Savior and coming King that he really, really is. But it is our responsibility to see to it that the world knows that he is Lord of Lords, hallelujah, and that he is King of Kings. So that is the first system that we need to make sure that we're going to get to the top of. Because you got to remember, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says there that we're supposed to be the head and not the tail. Amen. We're supposed to be above only and not beneath. We are supposed to be the lender and not the borrower. Yeah. It's what the Word of God says about us, God's people. However, if in fact we are at the bottom, if we are the tail, if we are beneath, then there is no way in the world that we will ever be able to control any of the mountains I'm going to name for you, because of the fact that it means that the world system, the secular world, is controlling that mountain. And if it's controlling that mountain, it controls the system, and it controls all the people who are in the various nations as well. So again, there's a religion system, or the religion mountain. And then, of course, there's a family mountain. And the family is being restructured as we have known it. The secular or nuclear family is no longer what God intended for it to be, a husband and a wife, and then the children is what the Lord created and what he has intended. And nonetheless, mankind has decided to rearrange the family structure so that now we can make the family structure just about anything we want it to be. We call it whatever we want to call it, and structure it in any way we desire to structure it and call it a family. But it is not what God intended. So there's a religion system, there is the family mountain, and then there's the education mountain, and that also is being rearranged to the point to where now, where in school, they used to teach you how to think, but now they're teaching you what to think. Schools have now become nothing more than programmers, to where it is that they are programming us to think a certain way. And that there are certain ideologies that we're supposed to embrace, and that standardize a type of thinking so that everybody thinks the same. Even the education system in many places is designed so that it is so standardized that there no one is going to think outside the box. No one is going to be a dreamer. No one to be an innovator. All because of the fact that everything is standardized, and to keep everybody at the same place. To bring us into a place to where everyone is just going to be thought to think to be a servant or to be an employee, but never think to be an employer, never to think about the fact that you can be the man or the woman who is actually in charge, except we'd be exposed to other schools or realms of thinking. So there's the religion mountain, there is the family mountain, there's the educational mountain, and then there's the government mountain or politics. Yes. And many of our Christian people have vowed that they don't want to be a part of politics. However, how are we actually going to change the structure of what has become, in many instances, a corrupt political system if, in fact, we have no desire to be a part of it? Here in America, in fact, many times I've heard so many people say that they don't even want to even be involved in voting for various politicians. Don't even take the time to do any sort of background checking and fact checking on the politicians who are placed before us, you know, to run for these various offices, and we do nothing to even want to question whether or not these individuals are qualified to be leading us. And so, therefore, it means that we have got to be the ones that would desire to go into these offices and to take over these places so that we can be what God said, the head and not the tail. So religion mountain, family mountain, education mountain, political mountain, and then there's the media mountain. The media mountain dealing with all our publishing houses and dealing with our movie theaters and dealing with our publications, the magazines and books and so forth, publishing houses, all of those things, they control that as well. And of course, as long as they control it, they also control the narrative. And they also control what comes across the TV as well. Because think about how many actual spiritual programs do we see coming across our TV? And if in fact they do, most times it's limited to a Sunday and certain time slots, all because of the fact that we don't control it. And as long as we don't control it, and the secular world is the one controlling that system, then they're always going to give us their agenda. They're always going to feed us with their propaganda. And so that's why you have to be very careful about where you're getting your news from. Are you getting your news from all of the various TV outlets there in your country? Or here in this country, we have various news outlets, of course. But bottom line, though, if that's the only place you're getting your news from, then, of course, that's the way you're going to begin to think. But we got to remember that the Bible says in all our ways, we are supposed to acknowledge him so that he can direct our path. Amen, amen. I will look to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. I should be wanting to hear from him, and I get my news. I get my downloads every day from Almighty God. Therefore, I will never, ever have to be swayed or persuaded by what is going on in this earth realm as to what they would desire to teach and want us to believe. Religion mountain, family mountain, education mountain, government, political mountain, and then the media, and then there's arts and entertainment. Again, I'm not totally sure about what happens in the Netherlands. I'm going to have to do some more studying. But here in America, right now, many of the people who are movie stars, who are pro athletes, people who are in other areas on type of entertaining, that they're the ones that control the narrative in our country because they're rich and because they're influential. And because they're so influential is the reason why their voices are being heard loud and long, because they have the money to always be on TV. And of course, the secular world, they always want to promote these people because of the fact that they see them as being the influencers of the world, only because of the fact that they are in positions where people give them certain acclaim and esteem because of the fact that they can play football or basketball or baseball so well, or because of the fact that they are a TV host, or because of the fact that they're in the movies all of the time. And so also people who are recording artists, rappers, and that sort of thing, all of these individuals have great influence. There was a young lady in our country by the name of Cardi B. Cardi B is on Instagram, and I was researching, and I found that Cardi B has 222 million followers on her Instagram page. And then there are others who have even more than she. Other individuals who have as much as 272 million people following them. But then when I looked up some of the spiritual artists, people from our kingdom, and nonetheless, the greatest one that I saw was 4 million. Look at the disparity between that. Look at how it is that they have such great influence to where at any given time, they can touch 200 or more million people at one time and influence their thinking because people are following them and believing that the things that they say must be true only because of the fact that they are in the positions that they are in. So we've got to change that narrative. And also for us to understand I have a son who is in the music industry here in America. But I thank God that he is not given to some of the appetites of some of the other people. He loves the Lord with all his heart. Therefore, his music is always very pure. His music is always clean. There's no profanity, things of that nature. And so, without a doubt, we need young people who are in that realm, who can be able to change the narrative, that they can change the popularity of some of these people and to take the light away from them and bring the light to where it's supposed to be on God's people who are in that environment. Yes. But we have to understand something. The only way that we are ever going to see that darkness becomes light is when the light goes into that area. Yes. Because there are some people who believe that what we need to do is just stay over here where we are, and if we stay over here where we are, and we're just going to pray, and ultimately it's going to change. Prayer, absolutely, first and foremost. However, in order for there to be change, you have got to go where the people are. Yes. The only way that Egypt was ever going to be transformed is that Joseph had to be there. In fact, Joseph even said it himself. He said that it was God who sent him there before his family would ever arrive. And he had to go there because of the fact that he needed to become the second in charge under Pharaoh. Yes, yes. And understand this also, children of God. Sometimes you don't have to be the person directly in charge. Sometimes you can be the person who's directly under the one that's in charge. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that you have opportunity now to influence the influencer. Yes, yes, yes. So the man or the woman who's actually in charge, because of the fact that you have great relationship with them, you are able now to speak into their life. And because of what you speak into their life, ultimately, it changes the culture. It changes the structure of things because of your great influence. Mm-hmm. So, again, religion system, the family, education, politics, media, arts and entertainment. But then there's one more area that we absolutely must be involved in, and that is in business. Understand something, everyone, especially all you pastors that may hear this message. Please hear me. The devil does not care anything about a church that has no money. I'm gonna say this again. The devil has no concern, he's not bothered at all by a church that has no money, that is broke. Because of the fact that he realizes that as long as the church has no money, that that church will not be able to respond to some of the things that are going on in the secular world. Which is why, again, the scripture says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go to all systems, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then it says, teaching them. To observe whatever I commanded you. So the Lord is saying the teachings that we are receiving in the household of faith, or the teaching that we're receiving even on a personal basis, as we read the word each and every day for ourselves and make application of that, of those words, then that means that we're going to be able to now go in and have influence in the culture because of the fact that people are going to see what's the... It said, let your light so shine that men might see your good works to glorify the Father who is in heaven. We have got to make radical changes in the world. Now, when I say radical, I'm not talking about being rebellious, because there's a difference in being radical and being rebellious. Yes, when I say radical, it only means that we desire violent change. Now, let me make sure again I say, When it says a violent change, I'm not talking about us going in with guns and knives and all of that, bombs. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about going into a place to where we are making a firm stand on the gospel of the kingdom. And we make a stand upon the gospel of the kingdom, that we're going to begin to see radical changes begin to take place and all of the various systems of the world that I just finished outlining to each and every one of us. However, you and I must realize that we are in a war. This is a battle. And in fact, right now, I know what's going on in our country. I don't know if it's happening in the Netherlands as well, maybe so, but there is no doubt that there is a battle right now for the culture of the various nations of the world. In fact, as we look at the invasion of Russia into Ukraine, and here it is that Russia has now started a war against a nation that has done absolutely nothing to them. But because of the fact that the president, Mr. Putin, has designed it in his mind that this nation must be submitted or become, an underling to him and to that nation, he wants to change everything and literally go in and destroy that nation only because of the fact that they don't accept life the way he wants to live it. There is something wrong with that picture. Now, what that also says, though, because of the communistic way of doing, or the socialistic way of how they live life there in that country, it is my understanding the church has to be underground. The church does not have a huge voice in that area of the world. And so as a result of it, now we get to see how the enemy now is able to devastate that sector of the world because of the fact that Christ is not being, given to these people with any sort of regularity. There is no loud voice coming from the church. There is no influence coming from the church. And we get to see what the results are when the church is not as visible as she needs to be. And so we got to understand that there needs to be changes. We got to teach people what it is that the Lord says. Now, we got to understand again that we're in a battle. We're in a war, and the enemy is going to fight with great tenacity against us. He is going to do everything he can to ensure the fact that the church will not rise up with any kind of prominence, that the church will not rise up to be able to stand against him. But the Bible says that each and every day that we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against all of the tricks, all of the schemes, and all of the devices and wiles of the devil, so that we've been able to stand with the helmet of salvation, and that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the breastplate of righteousness, and that we also have the shield, of faith, that shield which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, let me make sure I say this, that when it says fiery darts, it is not talking about events, not talking about various conditions, but what it is talking about is thoughts. The devil wants to penetrate our minds with his thoughts, which is the reason why in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says there that we should guard our hearts with all diligence, guard our hearts, because out of it flows the issues of life. Now, when we talk about our heart, we're not talking about that vessel inside our chest that pumps blood. What we're talking about in actuality is our mind. Yes. Because in most instances, whenever you see the heart being talked about, usually the mind is also going to be in accordance with that scripture in some shape, way, or form. So therefore, we got to guard our mind. We cannot allow the enemy to make us doubt or to think that somehow or another that God's word is irrelevant, or that somehow or another it is so antiquated that we're not supposed to be adherent to what it is that the Lord is saying that we must do through his word in this hour. The one thing that I truly believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that no matter how devastating life may be in this world right now, I truly believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the church is about to rise in glory. I truly believe that the church is about to rise in strength and power. Amen. Such as we have never seen before, and that we're getting ready to see how God is going to move through the church, and then ultimately we're going to see his kingdom coming to the earth like never before. That we're going to have a very loud voice in the earth realm because of the fact that we're getting ready to go into all of these systems, and that we absolutely, utterly are going to make a difference, so that we'll be able to see Almighty God begin to move in this world in such a way, my brothers and my sisters, that we're going to see people coming to God in numbers, in droves. I realize that because of the pandemic, that much of our evangelism has been really very sparse. I would also venture to say this, though, that even prior to the pandemic, one of the great problems of the church is that we have spent an inordinate amount of time always evangelizing each other. We spend all of our time inside of our buildings only talking to each other. And we spend little or no time at all going into the world. The scripture says it very clearly. And of course, it's in red in our Bible. So therefore, we know that Jesus is speaking. He says, go.
That's right.
He says, go.
Yes.
The church has to go. We must understand that intentionally, we must come out of our buildings, come out of the four walls, and intentionally begin to go into the hedges and the highways and the byways, the Bible says, to compel men to come into the Lord's church. It is high time that we stop hiding behind our four walls and only coming into the church and we're praying. And God knows, I can't express this more emphatically. Yes, we must pray and we must spend a huge amounts of time in prayer. But after we're finished praying, then we must get up off of our knees and do what Jesus says. Go into all nations, into all the systems of this world, and to be able to see the kingdoms of the world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. It is high time that we understand that we are in the world to make the difference. And let me say this before I close for this evening, and that is this, child of God. Too many people think that we work for God. I must say that again. Too many people think that we work for God. We don't work for God. We work with God. Amen. We are co-laborers together.
Yes, that's right.
In this work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is exactly what it says, that we work together. We are co-laborers.
Yes.
And we're supposed to be doing this thing as unto the Lord while working together with him as he works through us. We are the ambassadors of God. We are the representatives of the kingdom of God. And again, it is our responsibility to see to it that change is made, and that change is made as swiftly as we possibly can. Remember, we got seven mountains, seven systems that we got to get into, and we got to go to the top of them. Religion, family, education, politics or government, media, arts and entertainment, right? And then we got to go into business. We got to make the changes in those areas. And once we do that, we're going to see our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, come back triumphantly into this world and to make all of the necessary changes that he needs to make.
Amen.
Well, I thank the Lord for the opportunity that I've had to share the word with all of you here this evening. It has absolutely been a joy. I pray that we can stay in touch with one another. I have books that I've written as well. I truly believe will be a blessing to you. The latest one that I have out right now is called The Pursuit of Destiny. You need to get that in your hands. Go to my website, gilbertcoleman.com. Go to the website, gilbertcoleman.com. Not only The Pursuit of Destiny, but other books are there as well. And then please drop me a line. Let me know if the word of the Lord is touching you at all. Go to ttmom1995@gmail.com. That's ttmom1995@gmail.com. Again, I am truly honored, truly thankful to God for Pastor Wilfred and the radio broadcast for allowing me to come and share this time with you. I pray that the Lord's blessing will be upon each and every one of you, that the Lord will use you all to be able to spread the gospel of the kingdom into all the world. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Ja, na het woord toen hadden we over een paar andere dingen gesproken. Ik noemde ook zeven andere dingen voor hem. En toen zei hij, ja, het is zo, het is zo. Praise God. Ja, want die had hij niet genoemd. Maar ik zei het zo tegen hem. Dat is ook op de band. Maar goed, fijn dat u geluisterd hebt. We hebben nog een paar minuten. We gaan even luisteren naar het volgende nummer. En morgen, zo de Heer wil, zijn we er weer. 12 uur middernacht tot 1 uur. Be Broken. Met dat nummer gaan we deze uitzending eindigen. Wij wensen u een hele fijne avond toe. God zegen en tot de volgende keer. Dit was Joshua Radio in de zendtijd van Radio Sifania. Dag.